Hallelujah. How many believes that he will never fail? Amen. He will never fail. Amen. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. Now, isn't that interesting? I put together some notes, and then I go to look at them, and they're gone. Yeah, goodness. I trust the Lord. He will never fail. Hallelujah. Blessed be his wonderful name. Do you love him?
Amen.
Amen. Just turn to your neighbor, and you don't have to hug and shake hands and all that, but just say, he will never fail. Amen. He will never fail. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen, amen. We're so glad that all of you are here tonight. If you're just joining us, we're so glad you're here. If you've been with us, we're so glad that you're here. We just invite you to throw your lick of fire into the ring and enjoy the bonfire here tonight. Amen. God is so good. I'm going to just have you be seated for just a moment, because what I'm going to do next wouldn't make any sense. Maybe it won't anyway, but first of all, we want to recognize, let's see, where did Brother Emmanuel go? That's twice I've done that, or, you know, right in front of you. Brother Emmanuel, Sister Shannon, so nice to have you with us tonight. And several from your church. Appreciate that. It means so much to me to have all my friends, not all my friends, but a lot of my friends. Amen. We have more. Didn't used to, right? There was a time when, you know, you were happy if you just had one friend, right? But then he becomes your friend. And maybe you won't have another friend for a little while, but then he'll give you friends. And the friends he gives you are true friends. Not the ones that will abandon you when you run out of gas money. Right? Or you quit working and they're not working. Right? But they'll stick with you through thick and thin. Amen. And we'll spend eternity together. Amen. Amen. So we're just so thankful for that. So what I want, we've recognized as best we could the visiting ministers and the ministers that are here. If you would stand with your wives, if you would go ahead and stand, we'd like to recognize the ministers that are here tonight. That'd be okay? See why you had to sit down? Okay, go ahead. I know you don't want to, but... Man. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for nurse. Brother Glover had to slip home. Their special meeting started when ours did, so he sends his greetings and prayers for the continued bonfire here in the meetings. We were so blessed with the start of the meetings. Brother Josh Martin from Pawnee, Oklahoma, just did a wonderful job. And you know, as I said last night, if you start trying to hit highlights, where do you stop? Right? But there's just so much to chew on, and I would call it ruminating, right? Anybody know what ruminating is? You know, cow has, what, 8 stomachs, and they eat a whole bunch, and then they go and they lay down, and then it doesn't sound too nice, but it comes back up, they chew on it a little while, and it goes back down. Well, that's what we do, right? We chew on it, and we chew on it, and right? Chew on it from this side, chew on it from that side. And you have different, your taste buds are not the same all over your tongue, so you move it over here, and it's sweet, and over there it's a little salty, and over here it's, right? Amen, but it's all good. Amen, so we just not ashamed of the truth. Not ashamed of the truth. And well, I will make a couple of comments if that's okay. He reminded us that there's lots of truths, right? There's a truth that if the Lord tarries, you're going to lay in the ground one day, right? That's a truth, right? But there are greater truths than that. Right? There's another truth that says you're not going to lay in that ground.
Amen.
Amen. You're just going to take this suit off and put on another one. Right? It just so many things, so many wonderful things that were said. But, last night there are some that are out with the flu right now. It's that season where the devil's handing that out, right? And last night I was feeling all the symptoms, and Sister Baker and I got in the car, and I looked at her and I said, I don't have time for this.
Amen.
Right? We're not. He. There's another truth.
Amen.
Right? There's a truth that I feel those symptoms, and there's a truth that it wants to inhabit my body and take me down. But there's another truth.
Amen.
By His stripes I'm healed.
Amen.
Which one do I want to focus on? Right? So I'm happy to say here tonight, He's my healer.
Amen.
One more time. He's my healer. Hallelujah. And that's it's all about Him. Right? He said it and we're taking His word for it. Blessed be His wonderful name. Last night, Brother Andrew Glover did another marvelous job, and just a wonderful, wonderful message. The power of spiritual concentration, and reminded us of the difference between mental concentration and mind over matter, telepathy, whatever, and spiritual concentration, right? And just some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. You know, if he hadn't lost his voice, we'd probably still be here. Just so many things that were laid out, and he didn't want to stop because you created such an atmosphere. It's hard to stop, and I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad he went as long as he did. It was just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But there's just one thing that I wanted to mention. If you weren't here last night, he was telling us about the Martin Luther King Museum that was built in Tennessee. And there was a woman that was living on the property in the house that they wanted to turn into a museum. And she didn't want to leave. Well, they decided that, yeah, you're going to leave. And so they evicted her, somehow took her out of there. And so I believe it was 1968 that Martin Luther King was killed. In 1978, she was evicted about 10 years later. So what is that? Public math is kind of messy, right? Anyway, it's been a while. She has been squatting outside at the border of this museum, right?
Yeah.
What did I say, 1978? So 22 and 26 is, right? 48? 48 years. She's been squatting there at the border, and the powerful thought that was brought across is that she could go no further, right? So she stayed right there at the border and tried to scare everybody else and torment everybody else and tell other people, well, don't go in there, and they're this, that, and the other, and here's what they did to me, and oh my. And we were reminded, the message never put you in a bad spot. Don't blame the message for that, right? The message will take you higher. It's Christ. Amen. Right? But I about had a fit. I'm going to get myself in trouble because I started the services out on Wednesday, and I said that so many people will come up. You know what, Brother Baker? I almost shouted, or I almost did this or that. And I said, well, why didn't you?
Right?
Well, I almost had a fit last time when he said she could go no further. It's so true, right? But you were made to go further. You were made for this. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, such a powerful soul. There'll be people standing right. Oh, there's giants over there. There's this or that. They can go no further, right? But you were made to go further. Hallelujah. We are such a privileged people. I'm so happy, aren't you? I'm so thankful to be included in God's great plan here in the end time. And not only just included, but for Him to use us, each and every one, as members of the body, so that the head can take control of that body. And show in Satan's Eden, what an embarrassment, really, if you think about it, right? Satan's bragged about that. He says, I'll get the sons of God. I'll be on the sides of the north. I'll get the stars of God to worship me. No, you never will. You never will. Right? Here we are in his Eden. Right? And he'll not get one son or daughter of God. They will discern him. They will withstand him. He will be absolutely thwarted. Now, don't get me wrong. He's a worthy adversary. But greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. How many can say amen to that? Blessed be his wonderful name. Well, I got to get out of the way. We're looking forward to the word tonight. And tonight we have our brother Ed Hammermeister that's coming from Edmonton, from the cold country of in Alberta. And his wife Sandy is, we're so thankful to have them with us tonight. And we're looking forward to what the Lord has for us. The Lord brought us together as he did with all the other ministers that are here, and we're just so thankful for that. We're so thankful for each and every one, and it means so much to us. And so we're going to invite him to come and take his liberty here tonight and continue bringing the word. And as we said at the very beginning of the meetings, whatever it is that you have need of, look to him.
Amen.
Right? And say, God, speak to me. Right? Amen? Use those lips. Use your gift and speak to me. And that man may never have a clue what God said to you or what it is that you need, and he doesn't need to. Right? You operate the gift. You say, well, that was just for the prophet. It's for any gift. The gift isn't for the person. It's for you. You operate it. Let your faith reach out. Amen. And leave differently than you came in.
Amen.
You say, well, I'm saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to leave different than I came in. I want to go higher in him. I want to see more of him. I want his will to be done, don't you? Let's stand tonight. Amen. Well, we won't sing He Counts the Stars. We'll sing the other one. He knows my name. I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in.
still here, Brother Mike? I'd like you to come. I'd like to want to sing one more song before we go and into the Word here this evening. I'm so glad to be here tonight. I'm so happy to be with you all. But more than anything, I am happy where we are in the Lord. And I feel we're in an hour where He is being magnified in a greater and greater way. And I'd like to sing one more chorus before we go into the Word. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. Amen. We can sing that.
You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you all things, to you are all things. You deserve.
Not even aware of how great the need is, but God is here and we want Him to overtake whatever that situation is. And I want us just to agree together, whatever it is, I want you just to put it before God even now. At the beginning of these meetings, I think it was Brother Doug or somebody, you know, we have meetings and meetings, but one day we're not going to have meetings. And I desire that we can just begin to cross that threshold where we might not meet next year, but let's meet somewhere else. So I'd like to just go into a word of prayer. And as I do, I just want to bring a couple of needs. And this is from our local assembly. Just this afternoon, we received word that one of our elders passed away. It's actually the eldest married couple in our church. And he passed away quite suddenly. They'd been married 57 years and he's gone. So the wife remains. So we want to remember that. Also a sister in our church who has some tests and it may be cancer that's there. And then there's another need from another sister. But if you have your need, I'd like you just to hold it as we go into prayer. Heavenly Father, so grateful to be here tonight. So grateful to be in your presence. The great I am. The one that always was, that always will be. The one that is making himself known to a people in a greater way. Father, we're here tonight because of you. And Lord, we're here for you. And we're here, O Lord, to serve your purpose. And now we ask, O Lord, you would take the preeminence in this service. Father, songs have been sung and you've been made welcome and prayers have been offered. But now, Lord, we're asking you to come. Lord, I might be the vessel, but Lord, I'm praying that you, O Lord, would be the speaker. And Father, we might be the congregation, but I'm praying you would be the hearer. And Lord, I pray that it would be you, the all in all, that would be seen among us. Lord, may it not be man, but may it be the Creator, the great Jehovah of the Old Testament, Jesus of the New, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, we invite you to take this service now. Take us, Lord, as unworthy as we are. Father, for the needs that have been held. Father, there is not a need in this building that is greater than you. So, Lord, we're asking you, may faith be ministered. Lord, as we bring, Lord, the different ones, the hands that have been lifted, we also remember Brother Sam from home who passed away suddenly. Be with Sister Carol in a special way and the family. Lord, they're going through much at this time. Lord, may you also remember the other sisters in the assembly. Lord, the one with the cancer, the other need that is there as well. Father, we're just bringing it before you. Now, Lord, as we open the word, take us into your hands, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. While you're still standing, let's go to the book of Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. We're going to start the reading in verse 12. And Mark 11, verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto him, no man eat the fruit of thee hereever for after. And his disciples heard it. Drop down to verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Amen. Now, all of this was the preamble for the next statements. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Amen. Now, this is a scripture that is one of those that's worth ruminating on. Amen. It is a scripture that is in the Bible for a purpose. It's a scripture that the prophet could not preach on for a season. But it's a scripture that is necessary for the day that we live in. And in verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. The word of God is yea and amen. Now, all of this, the preamble, these verses, would not be complete without the two following verses. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. God bless his word. You may have your seats. As I said, it sure is good to be here. If I have a place in heaven, I want to be close where the Spanish choir is. I that was a blessing. Sister Julie, that was a blessing. I appreciate all the specials. When I come here, I feel like, you know, I could eat tacos and I could listen to Spanish singing all the time. It's wonderful. My. You know, but it sure is wonderful. It's good to be here. 2 years ago we came and we surely enjoyed ourselves. And we're happy to be here. We have many friends, or we're making more friends as we come here, and it sure is good to see you. I appreciate you as a church, and I appreciate, by the way, another thing I'd like is that deacon brother back there to be my usher when I go into heaven, because whatever he did, he gets me my seat, he gets me into the office, he gets me when we're, this is really important, when you're waiting for food after, he gets me right around everybody and into line. I think that's wonderful. And anyway, God bless you as a congregation, and I feel bad actually because we're passing by and there's these sisters that are standing there with children and these little kids looking big eyes, and I feel like they should go first actually. But God bless you all, and it sure is good. We appreciate, you know, a meeting like this doesn't happen all at once. It takes many hands. So I want to say thank you, and thank you for your support and all of that. And to the ministering brothers, I just want to say, Brother Josh, you know, God bless you. And Brother Andrew, these are young men. And you know, the prophet's desire was that young men would take the message and sweep it on to the coming of the Lord. I thought that was great. That was me. I'm there. But I just got the feeling that maybe I'm not one of those. But I'd say if it's some of these young men, the message is in good shape. And it seems that these young brothers are farther along than we were at that time. But I believe it speaks to the maturity of the message. Now, as I thought of the order of the services, I thought there's a pattern here that's unfolding. Brother Josh is in his 20s. Andrew confessed yesterday he's 30. And so I thought, well, that's great. Now, I know Brother Darrell, he told me that he's a couple years older than me. And I thought, well, that's good. And Brother David, I know, is in his 70s. So I got it. It's from youngest to oldest. But what I was concerned about was the quantum leap from Brother Andrew to myself. And I thought, like, it's not just a quantum leap, it's double and then some. And I thought, I didn't know what I was going to have to resort to. Thankfully, Brother Darrell's just a little bit older than me. I've been known, my wife is younger than I, and people ask me, how old are you? I say, well, our average age is 59, right? But she keeps pushing the average up every year, you know. And then I thought, well, you know, I'm in the States here, and I had some Canadian dollars, and Canadian dollars, you know, listen, there's a lot of talk about Canada becoming the 51st state. And I thought, okay, let me just be carnal for a moment here. I thought, what? You know what? I know what it is. They want our hockey players. So, after years of losing, we let the USA win this year. And anyway, I shared with Brother Flint a quote there about Brother Branham. You know, last year we had Brother Doug and Sister Jennifer come up to the Canadian Rocky Mountains, and we had a wonderful, wonderful time. It's beautiful. And I shared a quote, and I said, you know, Brother Ram said if he could, if when he gets to the millennium, he'd like to live there. And he said, we'll all be Canadian then. And I thought, that quote's going to outdo anything else. And I said, you know what? The USA is going to become the 13th province. And I said, it'll be a little like the mouse swallowing the elephant, but it's going to, you know, this is okay. Anyway, I was thinking of the age thing, and I thought, you know, the Canadian dollar, like, man, one Canadian dollar, and I thought that gives, like, you know, 65 cents. So one U.S. dollar, 65 cents, you know, the Canadian dollar. And I thought, well, there's something I could get with. If I'm 65 in Canada, that means I'm 48 here. Like, I like this, you know. I thought this is a good way to do it. But anyway, it's good to see some good friends here. Brother Manuel, good to see you. You know what, Brother Manuel, I'll tell you what, I got to share this with you. We were in Ethiopia last year, and I had to take the first meeting. I was sharing meetings with Brother Tim Dodd, and I had to do the first service. And I was trying to tell the Ethiopians about icebreakers. We have icebreakers in Canada. Actually, this can be hard for me to tell you. And I thought, you know, like we got frozen lakes and we got these ships with these steel prows and they weren't getting it. And I said, okay, for the purpose of the meetings, an icebreaker is somebody. And I thought, you know what I need to do is I need to play a video clip of Brother Manuel preaching a service. I say, now that's an icebreaker. Good to see you. I thought, you know, I'm looking here. And, you know, back in university, I played quarterback on the football team. I thought, I need a guy like that blocking for me. Yeah. Brother Flint right behind him. Yeah. Brother Mark, you can be the nurse and pick up anybody that's just in wounded or anything. It'll be the opposition. But I thought, that's the team I need, right? Hey, Brother Daryl in the military, he'd pick off anybody else that would sneak through. So anyway, it's good to be here. We appreciate, you know, in all sincerity, Brother Daryl, we were just talking. It was probably 5-6 years ago, maybe 7. I don't know. Time slipping by, but we were ministering together in some meetings in North Carolina and we almost couldn't come. My wife had a severe rotator cuff issue and she couldn't even lift her arm and we had to almost postpone the trip. And we were having devotions, just reading out of the family altar book and it was in Psalms 150 or something there. And this, the reading was, and I will lift my hands in the sanctuary. And my wife caught that and something struck a hold. So now we're at the meetings and I'm the first couple of days there. You know, she has to do her hair, and I'm holding her hand so she can do her hair. I wasn't going to touch her hair. And she was doing it. And then, you know, so, and then it was the Saturday morning, Brother Daryl was just ministering a wonderful faith message, and the Spirit of God came. I believe we'll be blessed tomorrow, Brother Daryl, just as he's got a gift. And as he was ministering, And it was just the presence of God after. My wife is, and I saw her lifting both hands. And God healed her. God healed her. Yeah. Brother David, really nice to meet you. Appreciate your spirit. Your wife, Sister Felicia. We're really happy to be here. Last night, I just want to say, Brother Andrew left right after the service. That's to give ministers a complex. Like, wait, why did he leave just before I preach? I just want to say, Brother Daryl, I have to leave tomorrow morning. but listen, I'm still behind you, okay? Don't worry. So, we're going up to Western Canada to where my daughter lives there, having a baby dedication, and we appreciate family and we want to do whatever we can, and they found out I was coming, so now I'm ministering on Sunday too. So any rate, Brother Doug and Sister Jennifer, I'd say they're just friends of ours. And I just said, you know, it starts so innocuously, but God has a way of doing things, and we appreciate that. We appreciate you, Brother Andy and Sister Julie, just, you know, somebody who is supportive, other ministries that are here, and we're just thankful for it. I was sitting right where you were sitting, Brother Flint, the last 2 days, and I had Sister Jennifer behind me amening, and I thought, oh, I just love it. She's just amening, and she's so good. And I thought, Sister Jennifer, do you want to just come up here? I need... it would be a lot better. I might feel better. Somebody said, you know, Brother Ed, we're behind you. I said, no, you're not. You're all in front of me. It's not that way. So, but I sincerely, I just want to say it's an honor to be here. I don't go out that often. I'm pastoring. I do mission work when I do go out overseas, and we're grateful. We have a church, probably have 5 ministers that minister in our church and go out regularly. So I'm happy to see them growing in the Lord and things. So I'm here, and I'm not the evangelist like these other brothers are. you know, I'm not the teacher. I'm just the pastor. And normally I take like 8 services to get a thing across. So somebody said, oh no. Somebody sent me a quote about Brother Ram said the most effective service is so and so long. And at the top it says, brother, if you want to, no, what was it? A brother sent it to me and he says, if you want to be, you don't have to share everything. Otherwise you'll never be invited back. You have nothing left to share. So I thought I'm in trouble. But anyway, I'm going to try my best to take some thoughts that I believe the Lord laid on my heart. I'm only going to be an hour. I also want to say that there was a hockey game last night. It's 60 minutes long. Took 3 hours to play. So I just want to say that. Sorry, just so you got some context for where I'm going. So anyway, are we all having a good time? Okay, I'm a little bit more relaxed. You're all relaxed. That's good. I know that, listen, one more thing. I know hockey's our game. We just about did it in baseball, but, you know what? We'll give you that. That's your game, so we'll let you have that one, so. But honestly, we're here as Christians. We're not here as Spanish or Germans or English or whatever we are. Not here as Canadians or Americans. We're here as Christians. And there's no place like the body of Christ. And we're so, so grateful for it. So I want to turn our attention to this scripture, our reading. And I'm going to take, it'll be where I come to. It may take me a little while to get there. But I believe there's a burden for the hour we're living. And I may not get you all roaring out of your seats, but I'd like you to pay attention. And this is a great hour, and I would just say we want to just be moving where God wants us to move. In conjunction with the scripture I read, I want to read this, and this is in a number of places. Brother Branham is sharing the prophecy that occurred in conjunction with Danny Henry and such. And I want to just read this. And Brother Branham would say, because thou hast chosen this straight and narrow way, the harder way, you've done it at your own choosing. But what a glorious decision you've made, because it's my way. See? And he said, this in itself is that which will bring to pass. Now, you may attribute that to Brother Branham, but listen, there's more here. This in itself is that which will bring to pass and make and bring the tremendous victory in the love divine. Amen. So this is a backdrop for it. I'm going to give it a lengthier title, but I want to speak on the hidden attribute expression reserved for this hour. That if I can't speak all 8 messages, at least I got 8 words in my title, and then you can figure the rest out. So I just jotted down a few points that I want to make. And you know, any service is not just the preacher, it's the congregation. And we work together. So I want to be sensitive to what your needs are as a church. I want to be sensitive to where the Lord would lead us. And I'm going to just take some of these thoughts, the hidden part, the desire part, the free moral agency, the love part, the speaking part, and as I elaborate. But there is a hidden part to what we believe. Now, part of that is the scripture that Brother Josh shared yesterday, but it's in 2 Thessalonians 2, and that's in verses 10 to 11. And in there, Brother Branham would talk in that scripture, the Bible would share in that scripture, and it talks about a deceivableness of all of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now, there is a truth, and there's a love of the truth. And so the love of the truth, and he says that they might be saved, and for this cause, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. So now that is the world that we live in. Satan is the god of this world. Satan has blinded those that are there. But there are a people in this midst of this blinding whose eyes are open. And I believe that we are. So there's a blindness of this evil age. It is in conjunction with the condition of Laodicea, where it says, I counsel you to buy of me eye salve that you may see. Now, I want to say there's a hidden part to God, and I need to just take a few moments to elaborate on this. The way of our upbringing, the way of the Gentiles, our thought processes, would not bring God immediately to the forefront of our thinking. In other words, we need to change our thinking. We need to be able to see God. And I think Brother Andrew brought this yesterday. There's a way of looking. Now, Brother Doug is a photographer, and I appreciate some of the pictures we had taken, but the biggest part of taking a photo is seeing it. And if you can see it, then it you have something to capture. Now, just looking at a photo as an observer is never the same as the person that took the picture. The person that saw the picture, that climbed over a branch and under this and laid down and took the picture. And the picture is a representation of something that's inside of them capturing a moment. So we can't see properly through our own thinking, and we want to be able to see through God's thinking. Now, Brother Branham would share a quotation, and it's in Revelation chapter 4 series. And he says, now, don't forget this. God has promised great shakings, great mighty works. Now, he says, write this down. What man calls mighty and great, God calls foolish. What man calls foolish, God calls great. Now, don't forget it. And he says it again. Don't forget it. That will help you in the years to come, because we're looking for something greater all the time and we're receiving greater, but the peoples of the world don't know it. So there is something in the desperation message preached immediately after the token, Brother Branham would make the statement. He says, oh church, you can't be desperate till God speaks to you. Pinch your conscience. Now, we've all lived our walk, Christian walk with God. We've come to church. Sometimes we've come in a form. Sometimes we're just going through the motions. But there are times where it's so real and it envelops us and overtakes us. And I believe we should never lose the zeal of the hour. I believe it needs to be there on the forefront. You need to cultivate it. You need to do whatever you can and allow it to resonate through your being. Now Brother Branham gives this as a warning. He said, we must be desperate or perish. And he said, there is something coming forth from the Lord. It's thus saith the Lord. There is something coming forth, and we better get desperate. It's between life and death. And he makes a statement, it'll pass through us and we won't see it. Now, these are statements that are very valuable. But, you know, the parable Jesus would bring, and he said, there was a man who sold everything he had to buy a pearl of great price. And I think it's been expressed through these services, there's nothing greater than what we have, the treasure of this. And then there's another parable where he says there was a treasure in a field, but a man bought the whole field so that he could obtain the treasure. And I would say this message is a treasure. And it's not just the message, it's the Bible. It's one and simultaneous. It's Christ. Truth is a person. Truth is Christ. Truth is a relationship. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so it's not just something. Truth is something up there. There's a library in Jeffersonville, and we have a library, and that's truth. No, truth needs a residence. Truth needs a place that it can dwell in. Truth needs to be in us. And it's not just taking the parts of what we think in our thinking, But it's greater than that. And truth is not easily made available. It's hidden. It's God's way. Now, in Proverbs 25, verse 2, this has always been a blessing, this scripture to me. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing. So God hides himself. In hiding and simplicity, he says, God will hide himself so a theologian can't even see him. A theologian and a teenager or a young child will see God. God will hide himself. So it's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out the matter. I have a number of books. It seems like in the age we live in, people don't read books anymore. But I have the books, and I had them underlined, and we have a Bible study every 2 weeks with a number of our young men and ministers online, has a number of brothers together, and we were going through the seals, and my son and I were part of the study, and as we were going through it, and a brother was leading it, and my son says, Dad, you have all the same things underlined that he's doing. I said, yeah, but they mean more to me today. I mean, it used to be that we would say, yeah, seals book, second seal, about third paragraph, partly up on the right hand side. That's where that quote was. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. And I have found myself digging in and finding jewels. Yes. Friends, it is not a static word. It's not like learning in a school. This is the word that breathes. This is a word. Just give me a little bit more volume if you would. This is the word that's living, breathing. Now, go with me to Exodus 25. I'm just taking off here, going a little slow to start, but I'll get to where I want to get to. Just bear with me. I'm just dealing with this hidden part. It's the nature of God. So Exodus 25, and in this, God is speaking to Moses, and he's telling the children of Israel that they should bring him an offering. Now, the end goal of this is in verse 8, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell with them. But God's dwelling place was going to be garnered by materials that they would have to bring. Right. Now, if you look at these materials, and he says in verse 3, and this is the offering which you shall take of them, gold and silver and brass. So these are things that are valuable. And blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. Now, if you actually think about when they lived in, blue is not a color that's readily available in nature. You have to dig to find it. You have to dig. And that's the way the Word of God is. It's not just to the casual comer buyer. Friends, it's not all in church. It's not about meetings and special meetings and just church services. It's about waking up in the morning and it's real and it's breathing and you've got something that's embodied you and taking you. So he's saying now, and ram skins, now this is the only one, ram skins dyed red. All the rest are raw materials. But we need the blood. And he says, and badger skins and shittim wood and oil for light and spices and sweet incense and onyx stones and stones in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary. That's the end goal. Now I kind of perused over the initial part in verse 2. Let them bring me an offering. And here's the Old Testament, the shadow of good things to come. And he says, let every man give it willingly. With his heart, you shall take my offering. Now God is still looking for willing hearts. We can give our time to God. We can say, I'll do what's required. I'll put my tithes in. I'll put my offering. I'll show up at church. I'll do what I'll do. I'll tell you what, that's your minimal duty. But I'll say what God really wants is your heart. What he really wants is you to put yourself into the equation. So God is a personal God. God is a God who is interested in every person that is here. He wants what you bring to the service. Streaming, as good as it is and as wonderful, it'll never replace coming to church. And somebody will say, I told my church, I said, you know what? We're going to change our streaming. We're going to make it two-way. We can look at you, you can look at us. I said, that'll take care of the bunny slippers and the coffee and the blankets and all the other things. Yeah, that'll do it. You know, streaming's okay, but what you're doing, when you're streaming, you're robbing the body of your presence, your part, the part you bring to a service. I believe it's necessary. We all have a part to play. I'm just one part of it. I'll tell you how important it is. And not only streaming, but just tapes and play tapes. And I believe in playing tapes. But I believe more so in tape teaching. I believe more so in the revelation that comes from it. Here's Brother Branham preaching the seven church ages. I got the notes. I got the history. I got everything. I gotta do it. But he says, now I come down to the tabernacle to get amongst all of you, to get under the anointing, and under the anointing, now I can preach it. Oh, a prophet. Hey, we all have a part in this. Okay, now I'm trying to bring the personal part. The new birth is the revelation of Christ personally to you. You bring a part of Christ that may be different in its thinking than somebody else. We're not robots. God had angels. Angels were robots, theoretically. Praise the Lord. They praise the Lord. But God wants people who will give their heart, give a free will offering. Now, go with me to 2 Peter 1, verses 10 to 11. And this is now, remember, Peter's the one who had those notable words, who do men say I am? Well, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're this, some say you're that. And he says, but who do you say? You're the Christ. And he says, blessed art thou, Simon of Barjona. Flesh and blood has not revealed it. I mean, he was just there holding his hands up high. Just go down a few verses. And he says, Lord, we'll never let you get behind me, Satan. Hey. So Peter, he had his ups and downs. But he embodies them here in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse. Let's read verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. So you're called, but if you give yourself to it. Now listen to this, verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So in other words, this entrance is not just you can walk up to. It needs to be ministered to you. You need to be under the sound of the gospel to know the door that you've got to enter in. Now remember, back in the Old Testament, under the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were cast out, they were cast out from the Garden of Eden, and it says there was cherubims to keep the way of the tree of life. In other words, back then under the Old Testament, these cherubims, the tree of life was Christ. Christ, they could not partake of them in their sinful state. There had to be an atonement made. So these cherubims blocked the way. Now it wasn't a physical way as much as it was the way or the nature of Christ. Now you all have a way about you. You know, some of you clap a certain way. You know, some of you, you sway a little a certain way. I was watching the Spanish choir. I like that. And he says, now some of you, you know, you do different things. We all have our ways. And we all think somebody else is peculiar. But did you know you're peculiar too? To somebody else? You're peculiar. You come to our house. Hey, you don't have to go very far to see, you know, the mail comes in. So I like to get the mail out. I get a knife, you know, and I the end, pull it out slowly. Ah, okay. My wife gets the mail. Where's that envelope? If you come to our house and there's envelope shredded, You know who opened the mail. That's her way. She's got a lot of other ways, but she told me that's as far as I can go today. Now, so these cherubims blocked the tree of life. Now, let me just say this. Christ, his way became obscure to us. It was hidden to us. And we couldn't see him. Now, under the Old Testament, because it was also the shadow of good things, we saw little snippets of who he would be. And Brother Branner, he would say, I saw Moses, and he says, I couldn't understand how Moses would tell God a better thing to do, and God would listen to him. And it seemed like, you know, God tells Moses, separate yourself from that people. I'll make a new nation of you. Hey, how many of us would have said, you know what? I'm a pretty good guy. I make a good nation for sure. Let's go. It's you and me, Lord. No, Moses says, no, don't do it. And he said, what was it? That was Christ in Moses. So little bits of that way would come through in just obscurity, but we couldn't see it in its fullness. So it would come out in different ways. David was a king, and David, the man they fought through miles of Philistines, they brought him a drink offering, and here's David, he takes it. I can't take that. And he says, I give an offering to the Lord. And we look and say, how could David do that? So we don't understand those things, but the way was hidden. It began to be obscure. And you know, if I can say it, I got to move quickly here. The entrance had to be ministered. This entire Bible. And I will say, the message and the Bible are one. And I say, you need to be in your Bible. Because you're going to witness to somebody, you can't go to a certain quote. Hey, Brother Branham said, who's Brother Branham? You got to use your Bible. And I'll say this, get in your Bible. There's a way, there's hidden secrets in there. And they're treasures. I'll tell you, God has opened some things in the last years that I thought, I've never read this. And I think of Brother Branham, and he would say, he had the Bible all those years, but since the opening of them seals, that Bible became a new book to me. Because he was looking at it in a different way. Now, it was the season for God to make himself known. So, those cherubims that blocked the way, they eventually opened up to run us into that way. Now, there's a nature. Job was trying to find him. He couldn't find him. And he said, oh, I might come before him. And if I would plead my case. And so Job had a revelation, but he couldn't find him. And he says, he knows my way. And when I'm finished, I'll come forth as gold. But if I would come before him, he says, I could find myself before him. There's a scripture here. Psalms 103, I got a number of scriptures. But this is, it's to keep the brothers in the sound booth there. But if you want to use your Bible, you can use it too. Psalms 103, this is a good scripture. And in verse 7, Psalms 103, verse 7. So here is, I want you to think about this. He made his ways known unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Children of Israel saw an angry God on a mountain. They saw God take the Pharaoh and do what he did with Pharaoh. They saw the miracles. They saw this, but they never understood the nature of God. Read Hebrews 3 and 4. He said, they have not known my ways. And I say, we need to be acquainted with his ways. We need to be on talking terms with him. We need to understand his nature, his thoughts towards us. You know, we don't want to walk through this cycle. And as believers, friends, I believe we live underprivileged. We know, okay, God, Jesus died for us. If I repent and I do good things, I'll be okay. But if I make a mistake, I'm under condemnation again. I gotta repent again. Listen, that's a level one revelation. We need to come out of level one. We need to come into something greater. If you're saved, you can no more be lost than God can be lost. You are his child. He is not an Indian giver.
Now you'll make mistakes and you'll pay the price for them, but we are not to go and hang our heads. We are still the sons of God. We're still in unredeemed flesh. We're still in this. Just keep moving forward. Now, let me just jump ahead. Some of this I take services on. My wife knows. Honey, I'm finished the first service. Now, Brother Branham would say this. God's great secret has always blinded the wisdom of the world. They don't get it. They don't understand it. Satan doesn't understand it. None of the rest of them understands it, but those that are predestinated, they understand how God and Christ are one. Now he's speaking in the seventh seal. There's a lot of preamble to this. Now he says, I'm standing here tonight, and he says, I have, by God's revelation, a fold of what is behind those seven thunders that he heard thunder. He says, that was forbidden to write, what the mystery is laying behind those seven consecutive thunders. John was forbidden to write it, even in symbol form. There was no activity in heaven. It would give away the secret. And he says, now do you see it? It's so great. It's got to happen. But when them seven angels, now I've heard brothers come and they've explained and said, this is what Brother Branham meant by part one, by part two, by part three. Listen, we don't know anything as we ought to know. And the only way we know anything is when we walk with God and He makes it real to us. Now I'm not here to explain the message. I'm not here to do that. I'm just here to preach the message. I was sharing a quote with the brothers the other day. He said, great sermons lead people to praise the preacher. Good preaching leads people to praise God. So I don't want to have a great sermon. If I have to spit, if I have to help these brothers here. If I have to spit and make a fool of myself, but God gets the glory. He says that would be better than having a great sermon. I believe we're under an anointing where, like John the Baptist was, I must decrease, he must increase. The real ministry is not looking to make a name or to make a thing. The real ministry wants to exalt Christ. Hey, you can get to a convention and it becomes preacher preaching to preacher. I'm here for you. I'm here for all of you. I'm here for the preachers too. God help you. We all need it, brother. Hey, preachers need it worse than anybody else. Who said amen? Okay, now, hey, so he says Satan doesn't understand it. Now, he makes a statement. If Satan could get a hold of it, he would do great damage. But there's one thing he doesn't know. He can interpret anything he wants, impersonate any gift, but this, it's not even written in the Word. It's a total secret. Now, I'm going to come back to this. I'd love to jump in here. If this was my punchline, I'd really do it, but I'm not there yet. Now let's go back to Mark 11 for a minute. Here's Jesus. He's all God, but he's also all man. And I've often thought of this scripture, and there's things, and it's good to think of them. And I thought, okay, he's coming, sees leaves on the tree, and he's hungry, but it's not the season. And he curses this thing. Man, that's almost personal. Yeah, it was personal. You know, and so he does that, and I thought, man, I'm not understanding something here. And so now he does that. And the other thing we don't know the outcome or how it's going to come. Sometimes we're looking for God just to work a certain way, but God has another plan in mind. So he cursed the tree. He could have made it that it would never bear figs. The leaves would be there. That could have been the fulfillment of prophecy. He could have made it that anybody that touches it would be a force field or something. They couldn't eat it. You know, whatever it was. But the fulfillment of the prophecy was that it was dried up from the roots. It showed how he could speak to the life in that tree. Listen, I think the word has come to speak to the life of the tree that's growing in this last age, which is the tree of good and evil. And I think we can speak to that tree as well, and we don't have to put up with the distractions that Brother Andrew was saying. We don't have to allow those things to rule over us. Listen, I would say the word is growing in me. There was a time, Brother Flint, where you could have told me about the hockey game and I would have got my ire up. And I would have said, you know what, let's go out back, we'll settle this here. And he tried to push some buttons yesterday. He found out he was talking to a dead man. I don't care. But I did get him back later. You know, listen, I loved sports. I played football. I played quarterback. I played, you know, and university level. And I was totally into it. You know what? God has so taken that all away. Is it sinful, brother? No, but it's sinful to have it as an idol above God. And you know what? I don't do it because I have to. I do it because I want to. Because the love of God has come into my heart. I remember I had a best friend and we said, you know what? When I get married, I'll be your best man. You be my best man. And when you get married, I'll be your best man. So in between, one thing happened. I got saved. So now he asked me to be his best man. And it's a wedding, big Ukrainian wedding, 400 people. You know, the best man has to come out and dance. And I said yes. And I said, no, I can't do this. So I said, listen, I'll come to the wedding, but I won't. At this time, all the group of friends we were with, they said, hey, I don't know what's going on with Ed. Something's wrong. This guy used to be the life of the party. He used to do these things. So we're all sitting around the table, you know. I'm drinking my ginger ale, and they're drinking what they're drinking. And you know, we're sitting there, and it's like the big elephant in the room. So one guy got drinking enough, and then he finally pipes up and said, hey, who says you got to go to church every Sunday anyway? And everybody looks at me. I thought, wow. And at that moment, the Lord dropped something, and he says, and this guy had just got married, too. I said, Hey, Ron, he says, do you go home every night because you have to? Good. No, I want to. I said, that's the way I feel about church. Yeah. And everybody nodded and said, yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good. They went back to drinking and I went back to my ginger ale and I thought, I'm ever glad I'm not with this people anymore. Yeah. But you know what? All things are lawful, not all things are expedient. Amen. David grew up in a time when everybody hated the law. David loved the law because he saw Christ in the middle of it. Amen. That's the way we ought to be with the message. It is not meant as do's and don'ts. It's not meant, don't present it that way to your children. It is greater than that. It's the greatest love story. Listen, church is only one part of it. The greater part is when I wake up in the morning, when I'm in prayer, when I'm walking down the road. Oh, it is life to me. So, Jesus died for me. Therefore, if I live right, level one, legalistic. I love him. Because he first loved me. Amen. The real believer goes beyond. Amen. The real believer, listen, we sometimes get so fearful to step out. You know, well, I want to be in the will of God. You know, I just don't want to do anything to offend. You know, and that's where some of us live. We're just tentative. But I'll tell you what, there is a law of liberty. There's a liberty in Christ. He knows my heart. He knows what I am. Hey, and if I perchance, Canadian as I am, if I perchance jump up and start the clapping, and then they all notice it and they say, wow, he's Canadian. I thought he was Canadian, but he's not. There is privileges that we live below. 2 Corinthians 5. I'm moving along. 2 Corinthians 5. This is a great verse in the sense that it says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, this is actually tremendous in the sense that it is, we have no problem understanding. We had a communion service, and as I was ministering the communion service, I thought never had it struck me how much he fulfilled it. Isaiah would say, Never a man suffered like this man. You know, he could have picked to death, accidental shooting, or, you know, just fall off a cliff or something, but he allowed it. And now he's there. He's on the cross. And the scripture says, and Jesus, knowing that all the scriptures must be fulfilled, he had at this time suffered more than anybody suffered. And knowing that the scriptures must be fulfilled, give me something to drink, I thirst. And he knew it would be vinegar. Because they said, it said that in the scripture. You talk about a love that a creator had for fallen creation. He so identified in our sin. He so took our place. Now that's one part. Hey, how many can say, I believe that? I want more of a revelation of that. But now here's the other side of it. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. All that was so that we could be like Him. He was a servant that we could be like God. He suffered so that we don't have to suffer. And when we catch that. Now, Brother Branham would talk about it. He says, now, it's in the Church Age book. He says, if we accept the first one, we have to accept the second one. To reject one is to reject the other. He said, to a lot of Christians, it's just a good verse in the Bible. But do we really walk in it? He says that we would be the righteousness of God. The revelation is missing. We're underprivileged. This goes back to what Brother Andrew was speaking yesterday. Sometimes we get so encumbered with so many things, we lose just to meditate on the Word. You know, there was a brother in our church, and it's on the WhatsApp status things, and he'd always post a quote, and so it's one quote, it's five quotes, it's 10 quotes, it's 20 quotes. I just told him, I says, brother, I says, once you go past five quotes, I'm not even looking anymore. I can't absorb all of that. You know, they have this thing called scrolling, doom scrolling. Just that doesn't stop out in the world. It comes in the message. Well, I'm going to listen to that service. I got that one. Next one, next one, next one. And we're going from one to one to one. Where is Christ? Where is the truth? Where is the reality? Has it struck you? We need to have that. I so appreciate Brother Andrew laboring on that. That we need to cultivate that place with Him. Just to walk with Him. The brethren in Africa for years, you know, they'd have to walk a great distance to church. But while they're walking, they're thinking on God. They're meditating on God. Satan has robbed us. Friends, we don't want to be engaged. You know, we're in a neurotic age. We're bombarded. We're just so... I was reading that since 2010, every generation has and it outdid the previous generation. 2010, there was a decline. That's right. Yeah. And it said that the cognitive ability of the generations has been falling. And they labeled it to screen time. And now Denmark and I think Sweden, they've taken screens out of the classroom. Because it gets people, you just get wired. You know, you talk about algorithms and you talk about a way of thinking. Hey, Satan wants you to just get in that channel, that neurotic channel where you can't think for yourself. Where you have to fit what he fits. Don't think it stops outside a church door. It can come in. I appreciate different brothers. But I appreciate that I can take time and think on God. And think of the Word of God. We had a couple sisters. They were going down to a meeting in Calgary. It's about 3 hours away. So they plugged into their GPS. Go to this meeting, a certain place. So now they go straight south. And then they have to head west. So now they plugged it in, but somehow they got the wrong thing. Well, as they're going west to where the setting is, well, they're driving the other way. But it never clicked that the sun's setting behind us. Because we're just so used to plugging it in. once in a while, I don't like to use the GPS. I just like to figure my own way out. My wife, we were going at a wedding, and there's a whole bunch of people, and everybody's turning this way and turning that way. I said, I'm going this way. You don't know where you're going. This is before GPS. I said, it's okay. I'm a man. I don't want to ask directions. I can't humble myself. So we go that way. She says, you're lost. You don't know where you're going. We're going through residential areas. And all of a sudden, we come right in front of the country club where the reception hall is. She says, I have no idea how you did that. Hey, you think a little. You can actually use this. God wants you as an individual. I'm going somewhere with this, believe it or not. He wants you. He doesn't want you to be just robotic. Well, what do you guys at church believe? Well, what the pastor teaches. Well, what does the pastor teach? What the church believes. And what does the church... You go in a circle. Nobody can say for themselves. What did God do for you? Listen, I think we need to just say, Lord, come to the throne of my heart. Come to the place where I'm at. Now, I need to move quickly because I'm just going too far now. Brother Branham is several messages you can listen to. My new ministry is one of them. And he's talking, he's now, this is in 1959. And he also, another one, Speak to This Mountain. And he's saying, here he's out hunting. And he says, this scripture continually came to me. If you say to this mountain, be thou plucked up and cast in the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you've said will come to pass, you can have what you said. And now here's his question. How can that be, Lord? That would be me saying it. Lord, that would do no good. It would be me saying it. I can't say nothing but what you said. I only can say the scripture. So now he says this, all things rested in the atonement. There's no blessings outside the atonement. Because we're sinners outside the atonement. If it's just a universal thing for everybody, then everybody would be saved. So he's saying, I couldn't preach on it. I couldn't understand it. I didn't know it. I couldn't see how that fit. It would just be me saying it. But here he makes this statement. He says, now, it's your attitude toward the blessings of the atonement that brings the blessing to you. Okay, now, he died for me that I could become the righteousness of God. Therefore, I can walk in his name. I can talk in his name. I can make a decision in his name. I have a part to play in this. I have something can do. So now, I want you to think for a moment, even Brother Branham, under the opening of the seals, it changed his attitude. Now, he always had already preached on serpent seed. He already had preached on water baptism and the Godhead. But after the seals come, now there was a boldness. Now let them challenge me. Why? There was a change in his thinking. There was an absolute that went with it. It wasn't just what I came up, but it was greater than that. Friends, I'm going somewhere. Just stay with me a little bit here. Now he says, now let them challenge me. So there was a boldness. Brethren, go to your churches before 63. Stay there, stay there. After that, come out of them. There was a change in the tone. Revelations 18, come out of her, my people. There was something that was more distinctive. That was not just Brother Branham. That was the Elijah of this day, which he said, the Elijah of this day is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Elijah of this day. It's not just the seventh angel. It's the mighty angel. That picture was up there yesterday. And I've had, there's so much disputes about that. My goodness. I just want to say, first of all, I believe the picture. But greater than the picture, that's the sign of his coming. I've received his coming. If you drove for one day and 2 hours and you made it straight north to Edmonton and you saw a sign that said Edmonton, you'd say, okay, this must be Edmonton. Now, you might doubt it. You might wonder, well, this doesn't seem like where it fits. But I've lived in Edmonton all my life. I don't even look at the sign anymore. Brother Darrell, I believe when you got that revelation and you told a brother, he says, that God told him that this message is Jesus Christ. Amen. And you stood by that. God gave that to you.
Amen.
And so now I'm not just looking at the sign. I know he's here. I know what he's done for me. I know what he's doing. I don't have to try to produce evidence. You know, in the Garden of Eden, it was wisdom versus faith.
Amen.
And in spoken word is the original seed. Brother Bram said, each of these produces an atmosphere. And this whole believe that, change the name first of all. It's not believe the sign. You don't believe it anyway. And so there's an atmosphere that follows it. Don't even engage. It was an atmosphere that Eve fell into. And it's an atmosphere, but there's also an atmosphere around faith.
Yeah.
Friends, as we're looking down the road and we're looking at what the optimum of the third pull is. We're looking at, I'm asking the question, what's it going to take between here and there? You're going to have to be in a place. It's not just going to be turn it on and I'm there. No, you're moving into it. It's doing something for you. So it's not just the seventh angel, because Revelations 10 is 1 through 6 is a mighty angel. Then there's Revelations 10, 7. And you know, and it says, but in the days of the voice. How many have read a novel that started with but? Something happened before the but. And it doesn't just finish there. It's Revelations 10, 8 through 11. And it says, take the book out of whose hands? Not the seventh angel, the mighty angel. Take that book, eat that book, let it become one with you, and then you can speak. Then you can prophesy again. Now, Brother Branham would make this statement. Now, I want to just dwell for a few moments on our attitude to the atonement. It's a whole service or two in itself. But the atonement, let me just say these couple statements. When Jesus died on Calvary, he said it's finished, but the atonement was not finished. Because he had to ascend on high. First, he had to ascend himself, even though he was sinless. The high priest always went into the holy place for himself, and then he came and went in for the sins of the people. So he had to go in twice. So he went in, and he told Thomas, don't touch me. No, he told the disciples, don't touch me. He went in again. He said, now, Thomas, just touch me. Because why? The atonement had been now completed. Yeah. And I would say, not in fullness, the atonement. He's sitting there. There's a body making intercession, you know, upon the sins of the people and such. But the fullness of the atonement is when we accept it. When we take it for all that it was, and we recognize he's the high priest of our intercession. And it says his high priestly duty did not finish there, but he came down into a people and he came that we might finish it. Pick up your pen and write. All that Jesus did on earth did not finish when he was on earth. There's a part that still is being played out. The bride has, thus saith the Lord, or she keeps still. Now, Brother Branham would talk about it. I want to just type this to the Jews for a minute. Because the Jews, there's seven feasts. Three separate gatherings. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, first gathering. Pentecost, second gathering. Then there's trumpets, atonement, feast of unleavened bread. Sorry, feast of tabernacles. And so now, Brother Branham would talk about it, and he talks about it in the message, the feast of the trumpets. So now notice the order. Jesus died once for Jew and Gentile. He'll never have to die again. But now the Jews turned him aside. The Gentiles received him. But now he's turning back to the Jews under the trumpets that's being blown to what? The holiest day of the year, which is the atonement. So it's not, Brother Bram says, it's not a re-killing of that. But he said it's to change their attitude. You're the one that we... So it's the attitude that had to be changed. Friend, it's our attitude that has to be changed sometimes. It's not just knowledge. It's a reverence for what God has done. It is a sacredness. I wish I could make this more real, and I just, but he would say this now, and you can pick this up in Leviticus 23, 26 to 28, but it's there to change their attitude, and when they finally understand, we killed you, where do they go? They go to their houses alone, and they mourn. The greatest day of the year, it's not a re-killing, it's understanding. So now I want you just to catch this for a few moments here. I want you to think about what the atonement has done for us. Yes. Brother Branham would say, under the opening of the seals, it's the most, Revelation 5, the most sublime act in the scripture. Yes. Amen. Now, I'm going to just use this for a minute now. He says in my new ministry, I was speaking there, thinking on this scripture, till I became so conscious of something near, and something said to me, he says, how can a man say, that is in the atonement. If a man or a woman is so consecrated and surrendered to God, God just moves in and uses their voice. It isn't the man speaking, it's the God that's in him speaking. And he says, now, that is true. It's God that's speaking, and all the church needs is a step closer to him. Amen. Now, I'm going to go for a moment. I need to just go on this thought of desire for a moment. Go with me to Genesis 3. How are we doing for time? Okay. 30 minutes is up in the game, or an hour into the service. So, Genesis 3, if you will, for a moment. All right, I appreciate you bearing with me. Now, this is where the serpent beguiled Eve. I won't go through all of it, but in verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat. So, with a desire, the serpent, he comes and he beguiles her, he beguiles her and she's caught in this atmosphere. I don't know how many times he came, but he came time after time, and finally she succumbed. He said, you'll be like gods. Now, here's the thing, she was a god. She didn't, but she was by desire driven to something. He said, how many ever get these, what they call, used to be phone solicitors, call you up. Hey, we got a free offer for you. There is no such thing as a free offer. Hey, they called us up one time and they said, my wife was listening, says, we got this cable service. Hey, we can sign you up for more channels. We don't have any channels. What do you mean you don't have any channels? You can have beyond just, I said, we don't even use those. And he said, we just use the phone and the cable. And he says, well, okay, but listen, we'll give you free channels. I said, I don't want them. And I says, well, we'll give you movie tickets. I don't go to movies. I says, well, we'll give you theater tickets. We don't, how about sporting events? I said, we don't do any of that. What do you people do anyway? and I said, well, we go to church. And we enjoy each other's company. But you know what? It's a free offer. Now it's called clickbait. They say, hey, you can get this. And you know what? It looks so alluring. It looks so, oh, hey. You know, it's always amazing when you have a family computer that's used by the family and the algorithms carry over. Your wife hops on the computer and all these John Deere tractors pop up. Hey, what was my husband doing on the computer? You know, or the kid popping up. But you know what? The devil, he tries to do that. That's what he did to Eve. There was a desire. He capitalized on a desire. Now, you don't make a decision without there being something to pull you. I love how Brother Andrew brought that out. He says, I will draw all men to me. There is something in the believer. Now, it's in you, inside of you. And it's pulling you and it's drawing you. And you don't even know what it is sometimes. You know, you don't even know it was there. So now he's talking to Eve and he's saying, now if you eat this, you're going to be wise. And now they go on a little further, drop down to, I'll just go quickly here. Verse 15. He said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman. Thy seed and her seed, it'll bruise thy head, it'll bruise his heel. And to the woman, he says, I'll multiply your sorrow and conception. And then the latter part, he says, and your desire shall be to your husband, and he'll rule over you. In Genesis 4, when Cain is being rebuked by the Lord, and he talks to him in verse 7, if you do well, won't you be accepted? If you don't do well, sin lies at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire. So there's a fallen nature, and there's a desire that comes with that, that is not of God. You know, under the Old Testament, the believer that would make a sacrifice, they would make the sacrifice under the blood of bulls and goats, but they would come back with the same desire. It could never take their desire away. But now I want you just to go back to this in Genesis 3 verse 6. She ate, but then it says her husband with her and they did eat. Now, we know Adam was not deceived. Now I want you I don't know how I'm going to do it. Let's say the angels are all sitting here. They're watching this scene. What did Eve just do? And look at Adam. Like, do they realize where they're standing right now? Adam, what are you going to do? And here's Adam. And Adam is looking at Eve, and he loves Eve, but he's not deceived. He knows if he embraces her or takes her, he says, I am stepping out of eternal life. And here's Adam, and the angels are there, and everybody's watching, and they're watching Adam. No, he's not doing it. He's doing it, and he embraces Eve. There was something they couldn't understand. It was a hidden attribute inside of Adam. And that hidden attribute was Adam extending himself. But what the angels didn't know, that was the same attribute that was of God. And it was Adam stepping out in the garden, and Adam did it that way, but it was going to be expressed again when Christ would take and step out. He says, she's lost, but I will take her. I'll take her sin. I'll embrace her. She is mine. And here, Brother Branham talks about it. He says, I see Adam and Eve, little sweethearts. Adam back there, his arms around her. And he starts walking out with his arms around his darling. Adam was not deceived. He didn't have to walk out. But he loved his wife. He walked out with both eyes. Listen, the angels who are just so regulated. No, this is what Adam, they could not understand. Now, there's a whole subject on this. About God crossing dimensions or God crossing barriers. But here's Adam. He crossed a barrier from eternal life into time. Knowing he would die. Now, he says he walked out. No matter if he'd go to torment, he'd go with her. Now, this is an amazing statement to me. Brother Bram says, and God saw the love of that human being. It was so great, he couldn't stand it himself. He said, that's right, I will come and go too. I'll put enmity between her seed. In other words, God saw the expression of this attribute. It was hidden, nobody saw it, nobody knew it. Where did it come from? What drove Adam to do that? You know, there's a thief on the cross. And two of them. One is just railing on Jesus. The other one is going, why are you doing that? This man did nothing wrong. And then he says, Lord, remember me. And this thief on the cross, he didn't have a chance to get into theology. He didn't have a chance to get into scripture. He didn't have anything. But he just accepted what God was doing, and he reaped the benefits of it before the atonement was ever made. He caught what was going on. I always remark about David's men. David's men, they saw David. They saw David. He's a king coming into power, but he's running from Saul. But they caught something in him. Right. And I would say, something has caught us. There's a kingdom coming into power. There is a kingdom. All the other kingdoms are falling down. Daniel saw that vision and he saw the head of gold, this, right down to the iron. And if you actually follow Brother Branham through, before Khrushchev and Eisenhower, he's talking about that image. He says one thing, but when it's fulfilled, he goes, that's it. That's the fulfillment of scripture. And he says, according to that, there's a stone coming, a rock not made with hands. All these kingdoms are going to crumble. They're crumbling. Friends, there's a kingdom coming into power. It doesn't know, you don't know what it looks like, but it's here. The subjects are here. The king is here. We are here. We are here for this purpose and this time. Now, I'm thankful. I texted Brother Andrew today. I said, thank you for helping me with some of the groundwork I would have had to do. But he talked about the right mental attitude. Let me share something here. About 2 years ago, doing a test with a doctor, he says, your PSA levels are going up. Okay. So, PSA would be indicative of male and prostate and things, and so, in between, my doctor retired and he'd sent me to a specialist and there was a lag, and now, and I'm aware of, you know, the problems associated with it. So now a new doctor, finally get to a specialist. They do all the tests. Brother Mark, you may know some of these things, but they'll do the test to see if anything would spread. Everything's, but I'm aware there's an issue. Now the doctor said, okay, we got to do one more test. We got to do a biopsy. And we got to just check if there's something there. So, we had a communion service the night. It was a Sunday night. And as I was speaking, God has provided a lamb. Amen. And it was just a service. And I was taking Abraham. I was thinking of Christ. Bartimaeus, God has provided a lamb. The next morning, I'm there. Now, fear goes along with cancer. And the enemy uses that. So now the doctor, he comes to me. And he says, we're going to do this thing. You'll need to go in that room and change. I go in the room and change. I'm just meditating. God is pure. And all of a sudden, God's so real. I thought, the presence of God was so real. I thought, I don't care what they find. God has already provided a lamb. I'm sitting there with hands in the air in that changing room. Thank you, Lord. I go and I take the biopsy. I from that moment, I had a rest. It's already done. It's already provided. A week later, the doctor calls me. You have prostate cancer. Stage 3.5 out of 5. He says, we're going to have to do some radiation. We're going to have to do some hormone therapy. We're going to have to do different things. I said, okay, whatever I got to go through, I got to go through. But thank you, Lord, for healing me. I didn't say a lot of things to people. I told my family. I didn't tell the church. I didn't tell anybody because God had made it so real to me. So here's what Brother Branham is saying. Let me finish. Hold that thought. He's saying, Brother Branham, there's a record of a person, if they get a malignancy, a tubercular or something, he said, if they take the attitude that dying is a part of living, all right, when I die, I thought, now, he says, did you know it almost always causes that case? He says, retards that case. Now, if that attitude brings a man to death, what about if the Holy Spirit strikes the inner man? So now he's saying that now. He says, the right mental attitude you take will bring the results. Now, listen to this. You've heard it many times. He said, it's not mind over matter, but the attitude you take towards something that's got life in it, then that life comes down and that's what does it. You don't do it. It's him. The five senses are all right as long as they don't deny God. I mean, that's exactly where I was at. I wasn't fearing the thing. I thought, thank you, Lord, you made it real. God has provided a lamb. They give me this hormone therapy. They said, we're going to give you 4 months. So I take this hormone therapy. And, you know, there's just some side effects and symptoms that go with it. I'm taking that. Said, after 4 months, we're going to now take you for these tests. This is radiation. That'll be for 5 weeks. And then we're going to do more. Okay, that's fine. So now they're going to take one more test. We got to just check your PSA level. Well, it was 17. They said 20 is serious. So it was 17. So now they go and take the test again. I get the test. The next day the doctor calls me. Mr. Hammermeister, I got to tell you the news. It's under one. It's 0.5. I went through, did all the other things. And they did a test again. It's still 0.5, they said. It's normal. I said, praise the Lord, God has provided a lamb. See, the right mental attitude is not just mind over matter, but it's toward the atonement. It's toward Christ. That's what's got life in it. Okay? Now, I didn't say a lot to the church. I had a little side effect, and then one Sunday morning I said to Sandy, I said, you know what? I'm going to share it with the church this morning. There's some people in our church that have cancer. They have serious cancer. They have things. I shared it with the church. I said, I'm not saying this to you feel sorry for me or anything. I'm healed. I'm doing it. Well, out of that, we had a brother who was way off the charts. He was older, and it didn't seem like he said, well, if it's my time to go, it's my time to go. And he actually confessed he had the wrong attitude. He said, you know what? My mom was a burden, and if I don't want to be a burden, you know, my kids don't need me, that's fine, my grandchildren. I says, but you got something to live for. You know, anyway, God did a work in his heart. I kept sharing quotes with him. Anyway, I shared the testimony. And then there was another sister who had lymphatic cancer. So now I'm sharing that testimony. So now the brother who is really sick this last Christmas, he comes and he's off the charts. He's 140 PSA. And he says, it's incurable. They're never going to heal you. He's in the hospital. He's with a doctor. And they said, the pain is so severe, he can't handle it. And I said, Brother Dale, it's going to be okay. God, and I said, that may be the doctor's last analysis. I shared a quote. It's not God's last analysis. Anyway, he 3 days later, he left the hospital and he said he stopped taking medication. That's 2 months ago. He hasn't taken any pain. He hasn't had anything. His PSA has dropped down to 40 and it's still dropping. I said, why? Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The sister with lymphatic cancer, she went all the way to Europe to get treatment. She had some roots back there. And they say, we can't figure out where it came from. And then she went into a service and there was such an anointing. And she says, I believe what God said. Hallelujah. And she went back and she says, we don't know where it is. We don't know where it came from, but we don't know where it is. It's not there anymore. I just want to say this, friends. We are in an hour and in a season that I think these things are more prevalent than they've ever been before. He said, it's the attitude that you take towards these things. Now, in the message, Awakening Jesus, and this has been such a blessing to me, as Brother Branham would share it, oh, and I don't even have it here. Maybe I didn't put it in. But he was saying, the right mental attitude, he says, it's just like starting a car. He says, you started it so many times, you believe it. And he says, what will the rapture be? The rapture will be, you have seen God so many times, it will just be another step. Now, the devil would lead you to believe that every trouble you have and you're going through is because you've been bad. You're not good and God hates you. Rather, it is God proving himself. It is God showing himself. It is God wanting to project himself. Listen, the same God that needed a reason and purpose of being, he needed a man, a lost. But he also needed people that needed healing. Why? To show that he's God. And he proves his word through believers. I am so thankful. Let me just take a couple scriptures. Jeremiah 29. If you look at the Old Testament, where are we at? If you look at the Old Testament, there are, by the way, the games that go three periods sometimes go into overtime. Did you know that not one person leaves that game? Just saying. Anyway. Jeremiah 29. Now, if you look at it, one third of the books in the Old Testament have to do with the restoration of Israel back in their position. Take all these books, Nehemiah, Ezra, Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, all of these. And if you look, they all bring something. Now, before Israel ever went into captivity, now here's Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29. If you just grab it real quickly. Jeremiah 29 and in verse 10. And he says, now, thus saith the Lord, after 70 years in Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. So now he says, I'm going to go. You're going to go for 70 years, but I'm going to bring you back. I mean, that's a good thing right away. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil. We often stop right there. We think, okay, God's going to do it. Let's just wait for God to do it. Do you know that we have a place in this? Our attitude to what God is doing. Now, just hear me out here. He says, now, verse 12, then you shall call upon me and you shall go and pray unto me and I will hearken. So God needs to hear our voices. He needs to hear our prayers. Well, if God's going to do it, God's going to do it. Gay, sarah, sarah. We'll see what he's going to do. No. Did you know you have a place? You can turn the economy of God around. Hey, if Moses can tell God by what looks like Moses himself, but it was Christ in him. If he can do that, what about Hezekiah? Hey, you got 15 years left. Set your house in order. He weeps bitterly. Here's Isaiah. I just finished prophesying. Whew, I'm home. I'm going to sit down at the supper table. And my wife is there and she says, oh, I'm actually sitting down so I can tie my shoes. But that's okay. Anyway, all of a sudden the Lord says to him, you just told Hezekiah. But you know what? I heard him. But I'm the prophet. But I heard him. You mean a man can change the economy of God? Yes, you can. Your prayers can change the mind of God. You have a part to play. Hezekiah. You know, there's others in the Bible you could take. If I can get this. Brother Branham would say of Jesus, and the Son of God had to spend much time in prayer to stay in fellowship with the Spirit that was in him. How much more should we need to? Now, I'm coming to something, but I'm saying, what happens between here, where we're at today, and what we're going to look for? We've got to be moving in something. Friends, I'm saying this to help us all. I may have had notes here today, but somebody could be pulling and change the notes that I have. You all have a part to play. This is not just one way. And I want to say every one of you has a different part to play. Now, Jeremiah 32, we all know Jeremiah will actually come now. He tells him, seal up this in an earthen vessel. And in the earthen vessel, and he would say in verse 14, Jeremiah 32, take these evidences, put them in an earthen vessel. Let it be there many days. For thus saith the Lord, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed in this land again. Now, that's there. Jeremiah was a prophet in the old land, but there was Ezekiel. There was Daniel over in the new land. Now, people were going to come back and they're going to open these things and say, this is what God thought of us all along. You know, here's, maybe you are part of the choir that sat down in Psalms 137. We sat by the rivers of Babylon and they forced us to sing a song that we didn't want to sing. How could we sing this Lord's song in a strange land? But then they come home, heads down. Wait a minute. God thought of us all along. I was always His child. Friends, we need to take a different attitude to the opening of the seals. It is not just mystery. It is God's thoughts to you. Why were you called to it? Why were you attracted to it? Because you're a part of it. You are in the thoughts of God. Ezekiel 36, just really quickly. I want to just say how important this is. Here, Ezekiel says, verses 1 and 2, prophesy unto the mountains. Hear the word of the Lord. Because the enemy has said, these ancient high places are in our possession. Well, I'll prophesy. I don't have time to read the whole thing. I could go down and down. But I want you just to notice, and God goes and He rebukes them, but down into verse 36, the heathen that are left around you shall know that I, the Lord, built the ruined places and the plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it. I will do it. Yes, now He's saying, I'm going to do it. Yes, verse 37, thus saith the Lord. So He says, I'm going to do this, but I'm waiting. I have yet to be inquired by the house of Israel to do it for them. God wants to do it, but He wants you to call on Him. He wants you to speak. Listen, what's your mountain? We don't all have the same mountain. We all have different mountains. What's your mountain? Have you talked to God about it? Have you talked sincerely? You ask not, you have not because you ask not. I feel like we need to engage. We need to talk to the Lord. Hey, there's something in me. I didn't know what was in me. You know, predestination is not pre-existence. But there's a seed germ. Brother Sidney Jackson talks about, he was out hunting with Brother Branham. And he says, they're going in a jeep. And they're going by, it's dark, and there's a bunch of natives dancing around the fire. And Brother Branham goes, hold the jeep. And he goes over, and he's dancing with the natives. And Brother Sidney Jackson, what were you doing, Brother Branham? He says, they were worshiping the one true God. God put something in their hearts. Now, He put something in their hearts that may carry them so far. But He's put something else in the heart of the bride. That it goes even farther. Huh. Hey, my friends that were around the table drinking, you can go to church. Sure, you can go to church. I'll tell you what, it goes so much deeper than that. It's not about church. It's about surrendering my will. It's about surrendering my life. It's about letting me be in the hands. I'll tell you what, Lord. I was praying the other day. I said, Lord, I'm here. You can trust me. Whatever you want, I'm here. I'm not here for myself. Lord, I'm not here for my own motive. I'm not here for anything. I'm here for You. Now only God could put that in a heart. What was once God's great mysterious secret is now in the hearts of the bride. He's whispering secrets to her. The devil doesn't know anything about it. Hey, if he could get a hold of it, it would cause him great damage. I have to really summarize. I want you to think about God and His program. God is coming down to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes. Yeah. I'm coming down to destroy them. He says, but I'm going to stop and visit my friend Abraham first. Now, and this is what He says, yeah. For I know Abraham, and I know he's going to train up his household the right way. But He said, let me just go talk to him. He says, Abraham, I'm going to destroy that city. Now, He's looking for a reason not to destroy the city. Now, and what if Abraham would have said, oh, Lot, he did. Remember, faith is based on forgiveness. Lot. Huh, he took the best fields. He did this. Let him be done. No, that wasn't in Abraham's heart at all. And he begins negotiating with God. 50, 45, 40, 35, 30. He's down to 5. And it looks like he's lost. And the Lord left off. And then he goes down and here's Abraham. And you know what? We don't hear anything about it. But it's Lot and his two daughters, his wife. So it's under 5. And the scripture says in Genesis 21, and the Lord heard Abraham. He heard Abraham. He didn't hear Lot. He heard Abraham. Some of you have people you know in the world. He can't hear them, but he can hear you. He can hear you interceding for them. He can hear you talking for them. The Lord heard Abraham and delivered Lot. Don't tell me we don't have a purpose. We are here for God. But we're not here. Listen, it's in us. And the scripture says in Isaiah says, and I wondered that there wasn't an intercessor. Where's an intercessor? Where's somebody who's pleading and crying? I had a young man come to our church who was backslidden for years. And one day I saw him at the back of the church. A couple services later, he was further, sitting closer. And finally he says, Brother Ed, I want to come be baptized. I said, okay, we talked for a while. He says, how long has the Lord been dealing with you? 6 years. But he just made his way. He's 6'6". I had to baptize him. I mean, he was like 200 and, well, hang on, I'm 200 and something. He was 300 and something. Everything's relative, right? Hey, get that guy down and get him back up. It was tough. We baptized him. He's doing really good. Everything was really good. Then one day he says, Brother Ed, I'm just feeling to go to another church. I could have just taken it personally. And I said, listen, if that's what you feel, God be with you. God bless you. You know, listen, they're not our sheep. They're God's sheep. And we need to remember that. So I just left with a good attitude. A year and a half later, my son was in trouble. And my son needed a friend. He couldn't talk to his dad. He had trouble with that. He couldn't talk to others. You know who he searched out? That young man. Now, what if I had told him, you're doing the wrong thing. You're out of the will of God. Listen, that man went to bat for my son. Listen, you reap what you sow. I tell you what, we just need to keep doing good. Brother Branham takes this in a word to the church. Be kind to one another. Say good things to one another. Why? There's something in us. There's things now. I need you just to think it. So God's coming to Abraham. Now Abraham's interceding. Yes, amen. I want you to think about David for a minute. David is a king. Now in the Old Testament, there was a king. There was a priest. But the two couldn't operate together. Couldn't be a king and you couldn't be a priest. You could only be one. You couldn't be both. And so now, here's David, and David, he's running from Saul, and he's coming, and he comes to the temple. He says, do you have any showbread? And he says, well, you know, our young men haven't touched girls week. And they gave him the showbread. It looks like just a simple little thing. What was David doing? He was crossing a bridge. Did God rebuke him? No. In fact, Jesus said, have you not read what David did? So there's something that pushes you beyond. Are you here? There's many examples I could take. But here's Jesus before the atonement is ever made. Before everything's done, here's Lazarus and he's dead. Now, the atonement hadn't been done. But here is the way, the truth, and the life standing there. And he says, Lazarus, come forth before the atonement ever happened. So God is always moving forward. The real believer is not stagnant. The real believer is not waiting for God to do something. In the message, things are to be. Brother Bram says, there's something in us. There's a life in us. And it's calling. It's calling. It's calling for God. And then he goes and says, and God will lay on the pastor's heart to bring a certain man in. And that man is exactly what the church needs for that day. It's calling for it. Now I want you to see how unique and how personable this is. Now in the economy of God, and Brother Doug just alluded to it in his opening comments. In the economy of God, God would take, and he says, spoken word, Eve would have brought forth spoken word children. She had a voice. She would have, I don't know how that would have happened, but she succumbed to it. Here comes Jesus on the scene, Isaiah 53, and he held his voice. He didn't say a word. He could have spoke. Pilate said, are you a king? He says, don't you know I have power? And Jesus says, you have no power except to be given to you. And he answered him, and Pilate marveled. He kept his peace. Why? There's another voice in him that had to come forth at a certain season. And there's a voice that's coming forth at this season. I need to just bring a couple of things quickly. And I could take Psalms 139, different things. But Brother Ram would say, now, what were your desires before the token came? And what were your desires after they came? Brother was just in our church and he was just sharing. He said he grew up in an area like we're in Alberta. That's kind of the Texas of Canada. Kind of redneck, you know, people. Just anyway. And he said he came out of kind of an area like this. Is capital execution. If they did wrong, to death they go. And then he heard Brother Branham. Now, no man has a right to put another man to death. He goes, oh, that kind of rubs me the wrong way. And so anytime something came, I guess I gotta go. He said, I agreed with it. I said, okay, I'll do it begrudgingly. And one day he's reading the newspaper and he opens up the newspaper and this convicted killer is being put to death. And he says, man, that guy doesn't deserve that. What happened? What did I say? The word is becoming flesh. Yeah. Friends, there's things in your life. God is changing us. An entrance is being ministered. There's a voice. Now, amen. Satan desired one thing. He desired to create, but he could not create. He could not speak. And guess what? In Satan's Eden, God takes a people, a bride that's sitting on the sides of the north, the place that Satan desired, and he's gonna let them speak. Now this doesn't happen all at once, but we had Brother Jules Forney some years ago. Brother Harold was our pastor. He was in decline. He was in health. I was burdened with things. And so Brother Jules was ministering that morning. I just went to the office as my prayer, as I normally would. I started praying. And as I was praying, I started praying for different people in our church, from one to the next, to the next, to the next. Brother Jules comes and ministers, and I'm still burdened about things. And he ministers. He concludes the service. That was the service that was wonderful. We had those little earpieces. Brother Jules was speaking on the caterpillar is the mystery of the butterfly revealed. And he's rolling on the ground like a caterpillar. And he comes up and then that earpiece is sticking out like a Martian. And people are laughing at him. He couldn't figure out why. But anyway, Brother Jules, we love him. Pray for him. He's in poor health. But Brother Jules says, so he starts calling people. And as he's saying, you need prayer? Somebody came for prayer. About five or six, and I'm going, all of these are the same people I was praying for this morning. Now, what is it? You can enter into a channel. Now, you have to give yourself to it.
Amen.
Now, as much as Jesus stepped across a dimension, we have to think, we're here on this earth. We're going to a place, another dimension, which is over on the other side. There's a scripture in Isaiah. Before they'll think it and before they can speak it, I will answer. Now, is it possible for us to start moving into that channel before we ever get there? I believe it is. I don't believe that we have to wait. I believe that we can speak to some of these things. I have a cousin at home. He's not really been in the message. The family was split. He's an older cousin than me. Always been against it. Always been against it. He had diabetes, and last year they had to take his foot off. Not only that, now he's sick, and I had a chance to witness to him. His heart softened. And then I just met him here at a family event. We talked. We had a channel. And he calls me 2 weeks ago, and he says, "Hey, Ed, I'm in the hospital. They took the other foot." You know what I went back to? A place where Brother Bram says, the hour is coming when missing limbs will be restored. Now, I this is sovereign. This is God. We can't speak it. We can't think that. But I would just say, His voice is in the bride. And it's in individuals. Now, I need to just draw your attention to this quickly. The five manifestations of the spoken word. Brother Branham is in the storm in Colorado, and he says, "What?" He says, "Go back up." And he says, "Go back up." Right. And he says, "I learned to trust that voice." Yeah. He goes back up, and he says, "I am the Creator. Speak." And I want to just say this: creation still knows the voice of the Creator. Yeah. Whatever that vessel is in, it knows the voice. When Jesus stood up and said, "Peace be still," creation knew that voice. When that voice is in a people, creation knows that voice. And here's Brother Branham now. He speaks to the storm. It's personal to him. He said they went there for 4 days. So what does he speak? He says, "Storm, go back for 4 days." Because that's what he said. Now that was him personally. We could take the fish that was that was resurrected when Lyle and Banks Woods were there. Now that whole thing, you know, that all came back because Lyle and Banks had said to themselves, "We should go back and visit our Sunday school teacher, that old woman, and tell her the things God has done for us." And Brother Bram says, "The angel of the Lord heard that." Now, they heard that, and because of that, they were partakers to that fish. I thought of all of the different places, the squirrels. We might not need squirrels. We might need something else, but I believe it's personal. I believe that God has it for us. Now here's to me, the amazing one was Sister Mita. She's slammed the door. The Holy Spirit didn't like it. She took a cyst. The cyst grew, became a tumor. Brother Branham, "Shall we take that?" "No, just wait, pray. And it got so bad. Now here's Brother Branham, and I love the humility. He says, "Lord, don't let her die." Now what is it? Love being projected. Now, Brother Branham would say, when divine love is projected, sovereign grace takes over. You can find that many times. But then he also says, and it produces the object of that love. So now he's sitting there, "Lord, I would never forgive myself." And he says, and then it says, "Stand up." He stood up. "Speak the word." And he spoke, he says, "Before the doctor's hand touches her." Look at how specific. Here she is over here. And she's getting up on the table. And he said, the doctor just reached out and something cool swooshed over her. What was it? The voice of God speaking through a man again. Listen, I wish I could get this all the way I would like to. But I want to say that's not very far from us. You can pray. Now, we all want to just say we'll have the spoken word and we all think it's going to be a certain way. First of all, I'd like to say it's not the way we think it's going to be. Just like Jesus spoke to the tree, we didn't know the manifestation until the next day. It dried up from the roots. Now, if you say to this mountain, now it has to start with an attitude. It has to start with prayer. It has to recognize under the atonement, God doesn't want me just to sit back. I'm a participator. I need to speak. I need to contribute. I need to be a part of this. Oh, I'm just a teenager. Oh, no. No, you're important. Everyone is important. A housewife's important. Everyone is important. I just want to say, friends, we need to recognize the hour we're in. I've been in prayer, and there's some situations, and I know that God is just waiting for somebody to call on Him. Who can call on Him? I'm gonna close with this quotation. This was to me outstanding. It's in 1950, and it's Brother Branham. A man comes in the prayer line, and he says, "You have trouble with arthritis, isn't it? It's what bothers you. Now, I want you to look and be sincere. Life has not been a flower bed of ease. You've had lots of sorrow, lots of trouble. You didn't come into this. Now, isn't that right, brother?" Now, I want you to think, what if you saw or heard what Brother Branham was hearing? You wouldn't have come in this prayer line. You were an unbeliever. You were very critical of religion. You rebuked God or cursed God, and you did wrong, didn't you? In fact, you wrote a tract concerning it. Now, this guy's in the prayer line. Now, it has harmed you. You have paid dearly for that, brother. You have lots of troubles, domestic troubles, sexual troubles. Now, nobody knows that, brother, but you. Do you believe with your heart? Now, here, can you imagine somebody comes up, wrote a tract, rebuked God? We'd say, that guy's toast. I want you to look at Brother Branham. He's praying, "Lord, this poor old brother, having to run and slip away, but he loves you in his heart. God, make a way for him. He's in trouble. You said you would be near to those that are in need. Lord, bless my brother as I bless him. May all these troubles clear up like a cloud leaving before the sun. May he be healed tonight of his arthritis and all these other troubles, and may he be made new and whole again in the name of Jesus Christ." Now, this is the most amazing thing to me. He concludes the prayer. Now he says, "Do you feel you're healed? You're healed, brother. God bless you. Go on your way. All of your troubles are going to clear up now, and you will be all right." And then you hear this on the tape. He says, "Can I have this?" He says, "Here it is, this tract. Is there a God? I cursed him." He had the tract in his coat pocket. "Can I have this?" Now, you want to talk about Jesus Christ, the same one that a woman was caught in adultery, and there's all these men, they were around him, and they're accusing him, and they are looking to find fault with him, and he's saying, "What do you say? The law says this. What do you say?" And he just bends down and starts writing. And he's looking at the peripheral. He's watching all the feet. And as he keeps writing, he notices one stone drops. By the way, it started from the eldest to the youngest. This stone drops this. And when all the stones finish dropping and all the sandals left, he looks at the woman. He says, "Where are your accusers?" "There's no man. Neither do I accuse you." That same Jesus is here, friends. As the musicians come, I want you to think about where we're standing in the middle of Sodom and Gomorrah. In the middle of an age that's dying for love. Now, God's not looking for compromisers, but he's looking for Jesus Christ to be expressed again. Who will be Jesus for the world around us? Who will be the one that will take care of those? There's teenagers here that go into schools that the minister or the mother could never go into. There's sisters that go to a grocery store we couldn't go into. I found that out the hard way a couple weeks ago. I went into a store shopping for my daughter out on the West Coast. And I went into the store. I never go shopping. I went into the store and I said, "Hey, I'm my daughter's really into organic things." I said, I'm going to make something up. "I'm looking for curdled organic goat milk." And they look at me. "Yeah, okay, we got it. We'll find it here." And then I'm looking for this, these sprouts. I'm looking for this. And I said, what are you doing here? I'm from Redneck, Alberta, but I'm here on the West Coast looking for these organic things. And anyway, I must have talked to 3 or 4 staff. I'm showing pictures of my grandchildren. Brother Darrell, it's just the best thing. You know, just my grandchildren. I'm happy. I'm talking to them. I got a little bit of a flu bug, you know. Da, da. I get it. Pack everything up. I get in my car. I put it in gear, and all of a sudden the cops show up. And they said, sir, have you been drinking? I says, no. I'm just shopping for my daughter. Oh, man. And he says, well, we have a couple of reports that you've been drinking. I says, oh, my goodness. And another cop shows up. And they give me a breathalyzer. I said, listen, I don't drink. I'm a pastor. I don't drink. And the cop rolls his eyes. Yeah, sure. I said, I don't drink. Anyway, I'm there. Man. And then when they're done, 0, 0, 0. Okay. Have a good day. No, sorry. No, nothing. I go, that's why your team has never won the Stanley Cup. Anyway, that's not what I said. Man. This world is not our home. You know what? The world doesn't know what it means to be happy. So I told that, I shared it with our church, you know. And then the brothers, they're all laughing at me. Oh, I would have loved to see that, brother. I would love to see that. The evening service, I'm coming there. I'm just, you know, telling the little kiddies and, you know, just smiling, da, da, da. And one of the deacons looks at me. Yeah. Oh. The right mental attitude, friends. The right mental attitude. How many loves the Lord? I just. I wish I could have shared these things the way I should. There's a message, the Word Made Flesh, India Report. And as I just share a little bit of this, just for a moment, but Brother Branham would talk about a church. And he says, if you have faith in God and you say to this mountain, now I said, whatever you desire, it's not, is that right? He says, it's not me, you shall have it. That power has been given to a church. Now, you can express it by mental conception, but when it becomes a real revelation, it's so in your heart and so in your mind. My wife would attest, we went through a great trial with our son. And it was a test like never before. 3 years later, he's back in the fold. He says, your heart and mind is so filled with God's Spirit until your thoughts become His thoughts. When your mind, your leading, your guiding becomes a direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Oh, what kind of people should we be? Don't use your own mind. Don't use your own opinions. But the Holy Spirit has you so built. All I can say is our choice is there because God has made us His choice. He made Abraham His choice. And Abraham was given a choice. Will you go to the right or will you go to the left? And Abraham wasn't there figuring out, well, if I go this, I go this. No. If Abraham would have gone to the right, God would have gone with him. If Abraham would have gone to the left, God would have gone with him. Because Abraham was His choice. And now He says, Abraham, whatever you do, you're blessed. And I would like you to tell, God has made you His choice. And you can't, you might, you know, you thought, well, I'm worried about the permissive will. I'll just say this. Keep your heart right. Keep it pure. Keep it sincere. And whatever you desire, it'll be like Joshua. You know, Joshua's there. He's in the battle. He says, I have told you. You can pick this up in Brother Branham speaking and God speak to this mountain. Here's Joshua. He's speaking there. And he's saying, now we're in a battle. I told you, be of good courage. Take this land. He's got all his soldiers and he's telling, okay, you go out this way. You go out this way. You go out this way. And all of a sudden the battle's, and he says, and sun, you stop still. And moon, you stay there. And you go there. Listen, I don't think it was even a heartbeat. He didn't work it up. It was in the path of duty. I said, I have raised my family for God. I have this church. And I said, I'm claiming every one of them. I'm claiming the steps I work. I'm claiming everywhere I go. Why? I'm a child of God. It is mine. It is all mine. You have issues. You just need to say, it's mine today. I got a voice in this. I got a prayer in this. Well, I'm really weak. I say, well, when the weakest saints gets on his knees, the devil trembles. I'll tell you what, the devil hates this. Why, that cloud picture? That's the headship. But there's a body here. And it's connected to that head. And that body follows the head. I believe we're seeing the life in the church. It's a vindication at the rapture's hand. Let's stand together. Thank you for bearing with me today. Don't you dare say anything about me drinking after the service, okay? If you do, I'll sick Brother Emmanuel on you. What's your mountain? What's your cry? Speak the word of God. Why don't we sing part of that? Can we sing that? I'm really good at this at home. I can catch a word. They're all guessing the title. Here it is. I wrote it down, actually. Yeah, let's... Yeah. Set your wings. Set your wings. Let's sing that. Do you know that here? Set your wings. No, that's not the one. Listen. Let's do this. That's another one. Wings of faith. Listen. Okay. I'm not going to teach it. Don't worry. I tell them around the church, the reason that God has so many good musicians is because I can't sing. I came back from a mission trip and I told Brother Harold, I told the people, I taught him a song and he goes, oh no. Yeah. Listen, let's sing I Speak Jesus. Can we do that? I think we can speak Jesus. Can we do that? Go ahead.
I just want to speak. Jesus, oh, your name is power. tradition starts to break.
Softly, I want you just to think for a moment, there's somebody that needs to hear you speak in their name. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe there's a situation. I want to just say this, the seals are open. God's desire is for you. It's not against you. And He wants you to call on Him. And I just say, let's call on Him. Let's not be spectators. Let's be participators. I'm a part of this. We're a part of this. Because you have made this decision. It's your own choice. And it's the harder way. But it's my way. There's a huge portion of heaven for you. And this in itself is the tremendous victory. Whereas it's not stopped yet, friends. That's not just for Brother Branham, but that's for me. That's for you. That's for our families. That's what we have. That's our inheritance. Listen, we might not see it all at once, but I want to just say, never give up. If God puts something on your heart, never give up. There's a sister, an elder sister back home. Almost dying, almost near death. She lives just a little over a friend. And she was with denominational friends and they just said, I'm so sorry that God couldn't help you, couldn't heal you. She said, even if I die of this, on my gravestone, you write, by His stripes, I am healed. And the minute she said that, she was healed. Friends, put it on your lips. It's God's word. Believe it. Listen, don't try to do this in your imagination. Let it rise in you. Brother Branham is there. And I'm trying to close, but he's there. And the maniac comes running forward. And he says, what did I do? Instead of hating him, I loved him. And he says, poor guy. And this man, because you, And then he says, I heard myself saying. What was he yielded to? The Holy Spirit, that seed inside. I heard because you have challenged. Friends, let that something in you begin to speak. I have found. Okay, I'm going to deal with this situation at church. I'm going to do this tomorrow morning. I go in prayer and God turns me around 180 degrees. Why? It wasn't me. It was God in me. We had a situation 3 years in the making. And we had every legal right to just call this. And I said to the brother, we're not going to do that. We're going to extend our hand. I said, that'll give an opportunity for God to deal. Within 5 days, the situation was completely turned around. Friends, you speak. Not out of judgment, but out of love. Out of a heart of God. And what there's a power behind it. I believe we're on. I don't know. I would like to say it's not going to be years anymore. I believe there's something happening. And I'm not just saying it because I feel it, but I'm seeing it in other churches. I'm seeing another brother. Friends, get in. Let's be in this. Let's sing one more song. This is my desire. I want you to think about your desire. We're going to have a word of prayer, and I'm going to let the brother come. Maybe it's tonight, maybe it's tomorrow, maybe it's another day, maybe it's beside your bed. Maybe there's deep-rooted things nobody knows. But I just want to say God is not forgotten. And I just want to say this evening, let's be part of the program of God. Heavenly Father, I wish I could have brought it better, shorter, quicker. Maybe come to a point or conclusion. Lord, I just try to express, Lord, what's dear to me. And Father, the hour and the season we're in. I pray, Lord, that these precious people, they're your people. Lord, you must have thought of them to bring this service in this manner. I pray the word would find good bedding ground. I pray faith would be embedded somewhere. I pray it would not just be a word out there, but it be a word in here. Lord, even as the prophet said, the word saw the word. Lord, you saw something in us. There was something that matched this hour. Something that says, I'm a part of this. Something that says, no matter what the situation, nothing is too great for you. Father, I pray that you'll bless each and every one, every home, every mother, every child. Lord, every father. Lord, bless the ministry. Bless the brethren that are here. Lord, these are your people. I commit them to you. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to bless the meetings. We thank you for this time together. We commit everything to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, brother.